Good morning. Good morning. I would like to tell you a short story about my life and how I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I was born post-war years. They call us the baby boomers. And my father had been a dispatch rider in North Africa during the Second World War. Mum and Dad were married before the war and only had their children, like a lot of people back then, later in life. Dad was a stone miner and Mum looked after us at home. Our outing after church on a Sunday was to watch Dad tend his allotment, and there he would tell us a little of the war years. And what held my attention was that he had sailed from the Clyde in Glasgow all the way to Simonstown near Cape Town in South Africa, where the troops were disembarked to travel the long, slow journey through Southern Africa to North Africa by train. He never spoke of the dangers they were about to face when they got to North Africa, but he would tell us about the countryside, the vast mountains, the sea, and the little African children running beside the train, trying to sell their tropical fruits, watermelons, avocado, pears, etc., to the troops who probably had never seen these items before. It all sounded wonderful, and the sun shone all the time, he said. I remember thinking I would never see that. As of course, like most families in those days, we lived on the bread line, and our home was just two rooms, one where the cooking, the eating, sitting, and the tin bath came out once a week for us all to have a wash. And the other was where we slept, the toilet at the bottom of the garden. How was someone like me to travel to those far-off lands and see this Africa that Dad spoke about? Little did I know that even as we attended the Presbyterian Church in our little village in Scotland every Sunday, I really did not mean much to me at the time. I did not realize that I was on God's mind then. And at the age of 19, I was to meet my first husband, and he was on a year's gap from South Africa. After a whirlwind romance, I declared to my parents that I wanted them to sign the papers so that I could immigrate to South Africa and get married. In those days, you had to be 21 or you had to have your parents' signature. I will always remember the look on their face. And I suppose you could have considered me a rebellious teenager in my day. Dad signed the paper, and I remember them saying, "She will be back." But God had other plans for me. I started the long trip to South Africa, and at the end of the 1960s, it took 48 hours to get from Edinburgh to Durban. The bus from Edinburgh to London, and then a very small plane from London to Amsterdam. A bigger plane from Amsterdam to Libreville in the jungle, where we disembarked to refuel. And here was this person from this little village in Scotland standing on an airstrip in a jungle in Libreville. How could it happen? Then on another aeroplane from Libreville to Johannesburg, and then on another one to Durban. Bearing in mind I'd never even been to an airport before, this was quite an experience, to say the least. I was married in the Presbyterian Church in Durban, and up until then I went to church, but I was still not aware of what people were saying, giving your life to God. I had 30 years living in South Africa and moved many times to various areas, and I also attended many churches, albeit in fields, in tents, in buildings, but it would be at my home in an old run-down house in Malawi, in the middle of Nyasaland, that I would meet a visiting minister. And casually, over coffee, he asked me, "Have you given your life to Jesus?" And I promptly said, "Well, I go to church." The way he asked me made me feel that I really was missing something important. And then he asked, "Have you been water baptized?" I said, "I was christened as a baby, but I wouldn't dream of putting my head under the water, as I have a slight fear of that, and I don't really want to get my hair wet." He smiled, and he said he would be back to see me the next day. I thought, fine, but all that night, I knew something was happening to me. He had said something, and something was happening to me inside. The minister arrived the next day, and after having coffee and cake, he said, "I would like to invite you to give your life to Jesus and baptize you." I remember saying, "Okay," and I thought that would satisfy him for a while, and he would not bother me again. I said the prayer asking for forgiveness for my sins, and he then went to fill the bath to baptize me. And I sat there thinking how I was going to get out of this, but somehow I got in and my head went under the water. He baptized me, and as I came up, I felt a brand new person. I had been on God's mind, and he used this minister to help me give my life truly to God. After this happened, I knew I was experiencing something that I had never felt before. I read my Bible with gusto each day and attended church, but I did not testify to the church where I was attending at the time what had happened to me. I didn't know really if it was the right thing. It would be a month later that I definitely knew I had to pronounce what I had done. As a family, we had decided to go for a picnic. The car was packed, children excited. We drove to Mount Malanje, which is situated on the border of Malawi and Mozambique. It was a fair distance, but when we arrived, it was all worth it. Halfway up the mountain was a place called Likabula Pools, where you could sit on the flat stones and the children paddled in the pools. It was lovely. But after 10 minutes, an African chap ran to us and said, "Move, the water is coming." I was quite taken aback as the pools were in front of us, but as I turned my head, I saw the water gushing down the mountain. The urgency was great to move, and I took hold of my daughter's hand and we walked through that gushing water. I had a fear, but I knew someone was on the other side of me. I turned and I saw my husband and son being swept away over the waterfall. I have no idea how I got to dry ground, but God knows. And I also had no idea that the African chap had organized a human chain to rescue my husband and son. We were safe, and thanks be to God in his mercy that he had given that African chap a word to warn us of the water. It had been raining on the top of the mountain and had gathered in the catchment area, and it had overflowed. I was also taught a lesson that day that I had given my life to the Lord and been baptized. Now I needed to speak the word and tell the people of what I had done. Since that day, nearly 50 years ago, I have walked my life with Jesus and tried to be a good Christian. Not always easy, as God did not promise us to be free from trials and tribulations, but knowing that when you go through these, he is with you. It always makes me think of that time when I was young and listening to my dad and thinking I would never be in South Africa. But little did I realize that God had me on his mind then and now. After being in Africa for 30 years, I came back to Britain, as life was not always easy being a single person living there. I had seen a lot and been through a lot, with apartheid, tribal wars, floods, malaria 4 times, and much more. It would take too long to speak of everything, but I always make myself available to those who need an encouraging word or help. Since being back in Britain for 24 years, my life has never changed, as I still walk each day with Jesus in my heart and deal with everything as it happens. I trust in the Lord with all my heart, and I lean not on my own understanding. In all ways I acknowledge him, and I know he will direct my path. It is by grace that I am saved, and it is a peace beyond all measure. Thank you for listening to my story today, and God bless.